Welcome to Two's Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Two's Talk with Dino, Tosh, and Donnie. Today we're actually going to tackle some pretty important subjects, the COVID summer, how it's gone, but we're approaching some tryout dates, some really important things, so Dino and Tosh are going to shed some light on that for all our listeners and all the parents and athletes that want to join. So Dino, welcome to the cast.
Thanks, Donnie. Great to be here.
It is, and I understand, you know, we were going to record this Friday, but Dean, you weren't feeling well. Are you feeling better?
I had some serious food poisoning.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, what did you get that from? Uncooked chicken, or what were you?
No, I here's the thing. My dad loves raw onions.
Right.
And no, it has nothing to do with the red United States onions that everybody's getting salmonella from. But he just eats raw onions like it's an apple. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of doing some picking there the other day, and I thought, oh, it wasn't bad. And then when Dina and I were home, I'm like, okay, she's cutting up some onions. I'm eating them like it's a day off, right? And I ended up not feeling very well, and I puked 16 times in 4 hours. It was awesome.
That does sound awesome. Sure, I love
throwing
up.
I lost
great.
Lots of weight.
Good for
I
you.
I recommend, yeah, that's people are wanting to lose weight. All this keto stuff is out there. Just eat a raw onion. That'll help you.
Sure. That's a great tip, Dean. And Tosh, welcome, bud.
Hi. I'm looking. My camera isn't working.
Right.
And I'm looking at you guys, and I'm listening to Dino talk about his raw onion and saying that's a good way to lose weight. It's not, people. It's not a good way to lose weight. Let's just, like, and then you're saying you did it because your dad did it?
Yeah.
If your dad jumped headfirst into a parked car, would you give that a go too?
Well, it depends on the car. It depends the situation. Like, was there money involved?
Sure.
You know, like, there's all sorts of situations that could.
Right.
You know.
So let's just agree that it's one way to lose weight quickly. Maybe not the best way, but it's a way.
Yeah, lots of ways.
Yeah, fair enough. I'd be remiss if I didn't give a little love to Evan. My beautiful boss, Evan, and the guys here at The Goat for letting us use this studio to get this cast out. It would be silly for us not to thank them. So Evan and Dan, the guys who help us produce this in the back end, bless your hearts. We need you because Tosh can't even get his camera to work, so I can't imagine how much trouble we'd have with this machine here. So thank you, fellas, and the guys at The Goat for doing that for us. And Vista
they
Radio.
Are amazing.
Yeah,
thank you, The Goat.
Yeah, that's
great.
Great
job, Producer Evan.
Yeah, Producer Evan and Dan, fantastic. And I will say you guys took care of me, hooked them up with some swag, and they were pretty happy with that. So really good job. So where do we want to start, fellas? Obviously, we've got some dates finalized that are coming up. We are going to try and drop this one on Tuesday, so we'll be about a week out from the first tryout camp. Is that where you want to start, Dean and Tosh? Where do you want to go?
Sure.
Well, let's go there then. So first date, August 18th in Saskatoon.
You bet. First date, August 18th. And I think what we want to do here, Donnie, is like most of the parents or all the parents that have been in the program before, they know the process. They know the routine as far as the registration and stuff. But we thought it'd be a good idea. We have a lot of new ones because we added, obviously we added the 12U and we have a lot of 12U, those 2007 and younger, coming out to the trial camp, which is fantastic. You know, the response has been overwhelming to the point where we're almost ready to close the 18th camp because, you know, and by the time this airs, we will probably have to close that camp off as a sold out. So so this cast is kind of give them an idea of what to expect during the winter, you know, kind of where we got to. We know that with COVID, it's very much uncertain as far as travel, but we have talked, you know, amongst ourselves, myself, Dino, yourself, Razor, that once the two-week quarantine is gone, we need to be ready to pull the trigger and go. So the tryouts are going to happen as usual. Uniforms have to be ordered. Helmets have to be ordered. T-shirts, all that good stuff. So our schedule stays along those lines, but I think just... this cast is to give the new parents especially an opportunity to get a head start on what to expect at those camps. So I'll just talk about the framework itself, and then, you know, if Dino wants to jump in and talk specifically about, you know, different pitching tests, because I know with the 12U, it's different with pitching if they're still in.
You don't care about the pitchers. You never have. You never do. It's always hitting this, infielders this, blah, blah, blah. And so then I always have to go in and fill in the stuff about the pitchers because otherwise it would be forgotten. So why don't you just do your thing, just like you said. Yep. And then I'll just fill in all the stuff you forget.
Hey, before we get going too far, though, talking about uniform fitting, I want to plug there's a new design coming out, and it was made by one of your coaches, and he's a beauty, and this design is going to be fantastic. It's going to be a surprise, so anyone who is going to try out and make the team, the uniforms this year are going to be the sharpest in the history of the program for sure, and that's a bold statement, but I'm going to say it. And then a coach's shirt that I think, obviously, is exciting for all of us too. So we'll talk about that a little bit later maybe, but I'm really excited about the new hats, the new stuff. New gear is a really exciting thing for sure.
That's a really good point, Donnie. And for those of you that listen to the podcast, and we're going a little bit off the rails here as we usually do, Donnie is constantly ad nauseum asking to go to Vegas.
Yeah, that's right.
Once again, on every podcast, after the request comes out, Donnie usually puts his size 12 right square between his lips.
Yeah.
And he just did it again because the guy that usually designs the uniforms is talking to him right now, and he just said these uniforms are going to be the best ever. I don't think they will be because they're always great.
They're always great. I never said they weren't great.
We're just
improving every year as like everything in the skill.
Yep.
You want to get a little better every time. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
Look good, play good, Donnie.
That's
look
right. Good things happen. Yep.
Good things happen. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to get into the trial process and the day and what it's going to look like. One of the questions we've been getting quite often is, does it matter which camp we go to? No, it does not matter which camp you go to. All the camps are the same. Saskatoon on the 18th, Saskatoon on the 22nd, Edmonton on the 26th, and Calgary on the 27th. All the camps are run the exact same. All the testing is the same. So it doesn't matter which camp you go to. All we wanted to do is give kids and parents an opportunity to do it on different days, because sometimes when we set a camp date, it doesn't work with other tryouts or sometimes hockey, whether that's an issue now or not. But we've only had the one weekend usually. So it's a great opportunity to go to the day that suits you. So once your day is set, the registrations are done, we're in the process now of putting everybody into groups. And I don't have this specific timing per se. That's going to come out in an email. Probably around the same time as this cast drops. But for those that haven't come to the tryouts before, this is what your day is kind of going to look like. So you're going to come in. We're going to walk in through the doors of whichever facility we're in, and somebody's going to greet you at a registration table. And all we're doing is checking you off, and we're making sure that you're there. And then we'll let you know where to hang out. Now, with COVID, we're going to have some protocols that we have to follow as far as distancing and numbers in the same room, that sort of thing. So we'll have all that taken care of. Once the registration piece is complete and we got all your information that is correct, we want to make sure all your information is correct, then we're going to go into a fitting process. And every athlete that tries out for the 222s goes through the fitting process for helmets, t-shirts, uniforms, because once we pick the teams, we have to have all that information there. You'll also be asked about, and this is something for the kids to think about, you'll also be asked about your top three numbers that you want on the back of your uniform. 222's uniforms will have your name and your number, so we want to make sure your name is spelled correctly, that sort of thing, but you got to come up with three numbers. Just because if a kid has been in the program or a player's been in the program and they've had that number, they obviously get the first pick of that number. So we go through the fitting process. Next, we'll be going through the quantitative testing. So this is all the numbers testing stuff. And the skills that we'll be looking at, or the tests that we're doing, we're going to be looking at exit speed. And exit speed is going to be each athlete gets three attempts to hit the ball off the tee as hard as they can into a bone net. We're going to radar that. And we're going to look at your exit speed. We're going to look at arm velocity as well. So you're going to throw the ball as hard as you can into the bone net. And we'll radar that, keep that number. We're going to look at the 60-foot sprint, so basically home plate to first base. We'll have our timing gate set up for that. And then the last for the fielding personnel will be the glove-to-glove test. So the infield will be getting a ball rolled to them, the shortstop position, in between, depending on the age group, in between that 80 and 90 feet away from first base. The roll will happen from a coach as soon as the ball touches your glove. you pick up the ball, you throw it to first base, and once it touches the glove at first base, time stops. So we're looking at accuracy. We're looking at your glove-to-glove time there. In the outfield, same thing. We're going to look at that, and it's going to be a little pop fly from about 120 feet, exactly 120 feet, not about 120 feet. And again, that's a glove-to-glove. The catching testing, we're going to look at the three bunt tests. So you're gonna field three bunts, and it's on your movement, your first movement, and then when the ball hits the glove at first base, we're gonna look at your accuracy and your timing on that. With the pitchers, Dino is gonna probably jump in here, but it's the three S's: it's the spin, it's the speed, and it's the spot. So Dino, maybe give a little more on the pitching, because we do have a pitching rule change for those 12 U's.
Sure thing. You know, before we got into the pitching, I was going to say we should be testing another thing too: cheering.
Cheering. Yeah.
We test all the physical stuff, but we don't test cheering.
Interesting.
We should test cheering.
Well, interesting point. With
how
there
loud
being
can
four,
you cheer?
With those four camps, it gives us a better, longer, probably look at a smaller group too. So you'll have that chance to stand out a little bit more, right? And I know we won't mention names, but there are a couple that we can name pretty easily, and I think unanimously, that are cheering at every single drill, no matter who's up doing it. And that actually, you know, that lends itself to, you know, we're picking good teammates here too. The skills are one thing, the numbers are the numbers. But
yeah, well, but we need to clarify that too, because it's not cheering, because one of the rules,
I know,
20,
not
one
the
of the real, there's no singing on the bench.
No singing. Singing,
no,
and cheering,
no,
are very different for sure.
Right. It's encouraging.
Right.
Encouraging
there,
teammates. Being
there
teammates.
There is people that we've had in the program for 3 or 4 years, and I still don't know what their voice sounds like.
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I mean? So we're always getting on those people. It's like, come on, you guys, we've got to chatter, we've got to chatter. Anyways, that was kind of a joke, but it went way too long, and let's get into the pitching.
Sure.
All right. Okay, so pitchers, you are all, everybody, not just the pitchers, everybody's going to be using a 12-inch ball, right? So that'll be a change for some of our 08s and 09s who probably haven't even used a big ball yet. I think 07s have used the big ball this summer.
Correct?
Yep.
So they're already used to that. But our 08s and 09s, they're going to be using a big ball. So hopefully people have had an opportunity to do some throwing with the big ball before.
Well, if not, you've got a week. So
yeah,
here's your
week,
warning.
You better get ready. And the pitchers on the pitching side, it is going to be a lot tougher. And you know, from what some of the 08s and 09s are used to. You know, you're moving back to 40 feet. So in the United States, and that's where all of our tournaments are, so that's why we kind of have chosen the ages and stuff that we do and why we do it. But we're going to all be using the big ball, so 12-inch ball. The 12Us will be pitching from 40 feet, and the 14s and up, so everybody else, will be thrown from 43 feet. And that's obviously from our Canadian, you know, what we're used to here in Canada, it's a lot different. So when you're going to be tested on pitching, you're going to be tested on speed, spots, and spin. If you haven't picked up a 12-inch ball and thrown it yet, it might be a little difficult for you. So definitely if you've signed up as a pitcher and you're going to be wanting to test as a pitcher, you're hopefully having some opportunity to throw with the big ball before camp.
That's a good point, Dean.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add about the pitchers at all?
I don't know. As far as the testing, I think Tosh kind of, it's pretty, you know, we're not going to throw for a half an hour. There's going to be some opportunity for each pitcher that tests to throw to some live hitters. There's also going to be obviously the static, you know, standing one point, you know, probably throwing 10 or 12 pitches, seeing each spin that pitchers do and see what we can get out of a top speed. But for me, I've always said it to the people that I work with, speed is not the be-all, end-all with me. It's going to be speed and spin and location is, I think, even a little bit more important. So if you can control the ball and you know where it's going and we can make it move, that's what I like to see. So I think I'm excited about this testing, and I'm really interested to see how the 12U stuff goes, because, like you said, we have a ton of 12Us trying out this year for our new age group, so it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is, and it honestly helps us with the program. We get to look at these kids another 2 full years and get them to develop as they come through. It's just a fantastic thing for the program, and Razor's going to love coaching the 12Us. So good for Razor, good for everyone involved. Absolutely, it's good. The one thing I wanted to point out, as far as testing, I know there's going to be a lot of questions. you know, when we can we go to the States? And this is only Hawaii, mind you. So keep this in mind. The wife and I want to go to Hawaii real is our anniversary. They've lifted their quarantine in Hawaii. And then if you can come back with a negative test within 72 hours, you don't have to quarantine when you get back. So hopefully some more of the states do follow that sort of lead. There's no guarantee when that will happen, but that would make things a lot easier for everybody for sure. So,
interesting.
Yeah, otherwise let's lobby to go to Hawaii. I usually say Vegas, but maybe Hawaii is the answer. But yeah, so at least, you know, at least there is a bit of a light at some point. Whether that comes in October, November, we don't know, but at least there's protocols in place now for some states, which is good.
No, that's a good point, Donnie. And we're not going anywhere until the two-week quarantine goes away. We can't expect people to go, and Dino's going to talk a little bit more on the length of the trips and how the selection process goes. I just want to back up two steps here. We talked about the quantitative. There'll also be some qualitative testing, so that's the observation stuff. So a little bit different this year. We've usually run, and every year in the past, we've run inter-squad games. So we pick teams and we play them. Play the teams off, and basically what we're doing is we're looking at hitters, pitchers, and catchers. If the ball gets put in play, yeah, we're going to look at the fielding stuff, but if we have a dominant pitcher on the rubber, the ball doesn't get put in play, so a kid could be playing shortstop for half an hour and not get a ball hit to them. So we don't get an idea whether that athlete is able to field the ground ball or make the throw or what have you. So we've changed it up a little bit this year. We still want to see the pitchers and catchers throw against hitters. So as Dean mentioned, the pitchers are going to do their testing. The next step for the pitchers will be they'll throw to five or six hitters, depending on the age category and how many hitters we have. But at the least, it'll be five. At the most, it'll be six. But it'll be in that five or six pitchers or five or six hitters that they're going to throw to. And they'll start at zero count on each one of these hitters. The other thing that has always come up is, and we've heard it, and we want to guard against it, is my daughter threw against these hitters and they were really good hitters, and yet the other girl got to throw against these weaker hitters. So we're going to take that right out of the equation. We're going to pick the hitters probably based on whether their kid's coming back into the program or we know them to be decent hitters for that age. And the 07s might be thrown to some 06s. It just depends on how many kids we have in the camp. But every pitcher is going to throw to the same hitters. And that way it's an apples to apples, or in Dino's case, an onion to onion.
Oh, nice.
Good reference.
Not bad, hey?
Yeah, well
not
done.
Bad in there? Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Comparison. So on the other side then, we're not so much looking at the hitters. So there's no pressure on the hitters because we want them to have good at-bats, but if they get a hit, they get a hit. If they don't, they don't. So we're looking at the pitchers, how they do against the hitters, and we're also looking at the catchers, right, to see how they frame, how they receive, do all those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair.
To be fair.
We will see a lot of hitting drills as it is, and it's important to see these pitchers perform against a hitter. Even I look real good just throwing to a catcher. Nobody there, so I can hit my spots and I can be slow and make movement. But how do you set up a batter? How do you approach it? What's your put away pitch? Things like that. It's important for us to see, and the consistency of it all. Great idea, Tosh, and I will give you credit for that. If it was yours, if it wasn't, just take it. It's good for everyone to see the same hitters. So there's not that question of, wow, right. Donnie batted off this kid and then Tosh batted off this kid. That isn't right. So I really love that. That's going to be awesome for the group.
Well, it's a good segue, Donnie, because we get the same thing on the hitting side. Okay, so my daughter faced a kid that's throwing the ball 64 miles an hour, yet these other kids that maybe made the team are seeing a kid throwing it 58 miles an hour. So we're taking that out of the equation as well, because on the hitting piece, as far as the observation, it'll be the coaches throwing to the hitters, and it's going to be the same coaches throwing to the same hitters. So probably not Dino, because he can't throw it 65 miles an hour for strikes. He's got to grab it up a little bit. Plunking somebody. So it's going to be Donnie. It's going to be me. It's going to be Razor. It could be Dion. Whoever's going to be there. But you will get your 10, 15 pitches off the coaches, and we will dial it up to the point where we're getting radar. So we're probably throwing it in that 55 to 60 range, depending on the age group, and it'll be speed appropriate. And I think it's a good thing, too, because, as you guys know, I throw a ton of BP, probably more than anybody in the program. And just on that in there.
Some of the best BP in the history of BP, though. Let's not forget what happened in El Centro.
We're not getting into that, though.
No, we're not going to get into it. But I want it reminded that in El Centro, it was an effort for the ages. I don't know. I'm just going to bring it up because it was amazing.
You threw out the steak and you just chomped right on it.
Yeah, well, it was. Okay. It was beautiful.
Tony, I totally appreciate that. And I feel the love.
And but we don't know when you're ever going to play on that diamond again.
That's right.
You may never. Such a special. Yeah.
It was special.
So one more point, though, just to bring this back again to get me to go to Vegas. So just like the uniforms keep getting better and better every year, now the testing is getting better and better every year, Tosh. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it is. And what I wanted to say before you guys interrupted me was that when I throw a pitch, I know if it should be smashed or not, right? Like I throw a pitch down the middle, it should get hit. If it's not getting hit, then we know that maybe that hitter isn't quite at the level they need to be. So we're going to have a pretty good idea. And I see it better actually throwing the ball than I do watching from the side.
Well, and what are you looking for? Like, what are we looking for there? We're looking for people to see balls that are strikes and hit them as hard as they can, right? Like,
that's
as opposed
it, yep.
to being in a game, you might, you know, we watch a game and even last year and years before, I have heard parents say, yeah, well, my kid went 3 for 3 today and they hit 3 dribblers to the pitcher or whatever. And it's like, that really means nothing to us. It actually works against your kid. We want to see them hit the ball hard, you know, swinging at strikes. And so that's really going to be the focus at our trial camp, not what your average is at the end of the weekend and that sort of stuff. So that's kind of what we're looking for there.
For sure. And then the last observation piece is going to be on the fielding piece. And we talked about that, about how a kid could be standing at a position and not get a ball hit to him in an inter-squad game for half an hour. We're going to hit a ton of ground balls. We're going to hit a bunch of fly balls. And they're going to make some throws. So the outies are going to have to do some do-or-dies where they're on the run, picking up the ball, throwing it home. We're going to, you know, look at that and see what do we got for accuracy, how long did it take them, what's their technique. And same with the innies. Just looking at a lot of ground balls. We've got our rotation drill that we love to do. It's kind of our softball IQ test, so we'll keep working with that. But overall, I think it's, like you said, Donnie, it's a way to improve the camp. We're definitely seeing what we need to see, and that's why we can go to a one-day camp, because now we're seeing exactly what we need to see and not having to schedule in those inter-squad games that didn't maybe give us all the information we needed.
It's important to note, too, and I'll go on a sidebar here. Let's say we have 120 kids coming to these camps, and out of the 120, 25 of them have shortstop as their primary spot. We're going to get a look at everybody in the outfield with their throw, with their range, with their routes, and the infield different spots, because we're going to have overlap on positions. It's nice to, as a coaching staff, to see, hey, this kid can really play third, or this kid can go in the outfield.
Yep.
Giving yourself as many options as you can to get your bat in the lineup is what we're really looking for, right? So it's
good to have some
diversity.
Yeah, so that's kind of the testing part that's going around. So we talked about the registration. We talked about the uniform fitting now. That's basically all the testing. And then the last component we always do is a parents' meeting. And we bring in the parents and we talk to them about the selection process, you know, go through some of the things that are going to be expected throughout the year. One of the things that we've had in the past is we've been up against a time crunch, so we've had to make that decision where, you know, you're getting a phone call on Sunday night, in some cases, maybe Monday morning, and you need to make a decision on the tournaments you're going to be offered. So I'm not going to talk too much about that because I think Dino's going to jump in on the selection process and how we work that. But I think all the timing components are there. And I mean, as much as the unknown is there and people are guessing that, oh, we're not going to travel till Christmas, we don't know when we're going to travel. It could be before, it could be after that, but we're going to do our best to move our tournaments around, but we have to schedule like we were originally going to schedule, because if something happens where, you know, God bless the USA, if they get their stuff together and things start to go, then and we're allowed to travel, then we do travel in October. You know, do we think it's a reality? Maybe not, but if it happens, we have to be ready to go. So I'm going to flip it over to Dino here, and he can talk about the selection process, how we've done it in the past, and what we're doing this year.
Awesome. Okay, well, I'll do my best here, but it, you know how me and my explanations go. If you have to jump in, please do. we have, I just want to direct everybody first to our 222's website, because all this information is there, but we're going to kind of fill in the blanks for you a little bit. So obviously www.222'sfastpitch.com, and you click on the winter teams tab, and it basically drops down a page that shows you all of our links to the four camps, the four trial camps, but it also kind of explains the age eligibility a little bit. And I still get questions from parents, not quite sure what we're talking about. And so I'll try to clarify that a little bit. In the past, what we would do is, so say the 14U category, we would have, okay, six tournaments for the 14U. So what we would do is we'd pick 14 kids. We're going to have 14 travel spots for each roster this year. So we pick 14 kids. If those 14 kids decided that they wanted to go to all six 14U tournaments, then boom, they were in, and we never had to fill any more rosters. But with us changing the ages, age eligibility, we've kind of mirrored what's going on in the States. It's definitely helped us in the competitive side a little bit. So now our kids are playing kids of the same age. But it also allows us to, like, for example, there might be a player trying out that is birth year 2007. They can actually play any tournaments that we do before January 1st. They can actually play as a 12U. And even though in Canada here, they're U14 already. But once that January 1 hits, any tournaments after Christmas, they're going to be considered for the 14U roster. So we can't really do exactly how we did before, just pick 14, and if they all decide to go to every tournament, they're in. So we have to kind of use our smarts a little bit more, which is troubling on Tasha's side. But when we pick these rosters, we have to think ahead and basically now go, okay, so this 2007 player is eligible for these tournaments before Christmas, and then potentially eligible for these 14U tournaments after Christmas, but they'd be a young player, right? So we're going to, like Tosh said, you're going to get a phone call, and we'll kind of explain that at the parents' meeting. You're going to get a phone call, and you're going to be given some options. There could be, you might have three or four options for tournaments. You might have, you might have a lot more options for tournaments. It's totally dependent upon where we see you fitting into what roster. But the thing is, those answers are going to be needed right then. You know, we might give you a day or so here. We don't like to say that. I know I probably shouldn't have said that, right, Tosh?
Yep.
It's too late now, Dean. Keep going.
Okay. Well, it's out there. But really, you guys, we need you to have that, you know, our tournaments are listed as far as we'll kind of give you an idea of where we're going and when we're going. And when we make that phone call, you need to be ready to tell us, yes, we're available for that tournament or this tournament. So hopefully that kind of cleared it up a little bit. Did I? What do you think, boys?
It was good. Like, and I think because it's a fluid situation that we can't travel right now, it's tough because normally you're right. We would be doing going through our process and going from there. One thing I would tag onto that, and I can't remember if you said it or not, I kind of zoned out because it was so boring.
Oh, wow.
But when you said,
come on.
Normally we've had our 14 and those 14 go. We should mention, I don't know if you did or not, like we had 64 kids.
65 kids that tried out last year. I think we had around 110 tryouts and we had 65 kids make a roster last year.
Yeah, so at least one trip, right? So so that's a big deal. And for the parents out there that are involved in any kind of minor ball or any minor sport, you realize that when you've got 65 families, 65 kids, 65 sets of uniforms, 65 helmets, there's a lot of moving parts that happen in the couple weeks after. So that's part of the reason why we're keeping our timeline the same too. Now, having said that, if you know we book our teams and we want to go to the Diamond Nine, say in Orlando in October, and we can't travel in October, then what we're going to look at doing is trying to move a tournament into the second half of the year for that group, because most of that group would move probably up to the 18s or 14s or 12s or whatever the case may be, like Dino was saying. So we're going to try and keep the same amount of trips. It just means that you may not be going in October. that team may be going now in March somewhere. So we're gonna look at that, and I hope the parents are patient with us on that. But we're gonna do our best to make sure that if we've identified your player to go on two trips, that we're gonna try and make that happen. You know, at some point in time. The other thing too that maybe we'll get into in a little bit here, Dino, is just the way we're doing team fees and stuff this year. But sure. Go ahead, Donnie, you had something.
I did, and to be fair. So I love the idea of planning as everything is going to be the same, but having a backup plan that if they aren't the same, we need to be ready to go in case we get the go-ahead so that we're not scrambling. But I know I'm going to segue into this, and I'm teeing it up for you here. The beauty of it is no matter when we go to our first tournament, we are going to incorporate a lot of team practices to keep everyone sharp and ready to go. Because I know we have talked about in the past, every time we go to a tournament, our pitching keeps us in, our hitting is usually on par, but our infield defense doesn't get a chance to work together, and our outfield defense doesn't get a chance to work together as much and take as many reps. So this is going to probably eliminate that as well. So I'm going to tee that up for you, Tosh and Dean. Go ahead. Well, whoever wants to jump on it, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dino.
Okay. Well, I like that. Thanks, Donnie. One thing before we get into that, though, I did want to mention we have had a...
But way to tee it up, Donnie.
I know.
The one thing I want to mention. Yeah.
Well, you know, when I tee it up, sometimes the ball falls off the tee anyway. So just, I'm there. I'm just, I got to mention
Let's circle back. Actually, let's circle
usually,
back. Yep.
When you tee it up, you're getting three off the tee. Probably.
Well, I might forget what you've teed up after I'm done talking.
So I'll remind you. I'm here. Yeah, you betcha.
Okay. The cool thing is we've had an outrageous number of 12U kids register for our tryouts this year, and Tosh and I have already talked about it. We are going to be looking possibly for another tournament or two. So you're going to look on the website, and it's going to go, there's two tourneys in 2020, and there's two tourneys in 2021. Well, you might see, you might see another trip or two added to that. So that's kind of exciting, and we just kind of thought about that based on the number of registrations we're getting.
To be fair, then, are we going to...
To be fair.
Is there another opportunity perhaps to add another Vegas tournament that even I can get in by default? I'm putting that out there now. Parents and players, if you really want Donnie to go to Vegas, let's maybe lobby for that. It could be in March, it could be in April, but... Maybe more
ring those phones.
Yeah, ring those phones.
Ring those phones.
Send
again.
Tosh a text. Tosh seems to be the one who's lagging on my arrival. Dean seems to be indifferent, which is fine. But if we get enough pressure, like a GoFundMe, maybe Donnie gets to go to Vegas. Like his dreams come true. Just putting it out there.
Yeah, well, that's good. And now Hawaii, you put Hawaii out there too. So do you care which one now? Or
I do not. Yeah. No. To me, Hawaii is probably better than
Hawaii
Vegas,
would be pretty
sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. You teed something up there a while back, and I think it had to do with kind of how things are going to, we're adding some practices and stuff.
That's
year,
right,
correct?
Dean. I did add that. Yeah.
Okay.
So go ahead. I teed it up, and I'll go back, circle back and get it.
All right. Thanks, Donnie.
Yeah.
Okay. So some of the things we're doing this year, you guys, we are, even for the ones that have kind of been with us for 3 or 4 or 5 years, we are doing things differently this year in the fact that we have split the training costs with the tournament costs. And it's happened for a few reasons. And one, unfortunately, last year we had a 14U trip in March get canceled due to the COVID, and we weren't able to make that trip. And so that's two tournaments. Now we've had to, now we've got to either refund people or credit people or try to find another tournament. It's actually not a fun process, and we apologize for that. But what we're going to be doing here this year going forward is our fees are going to be split. So folks that make a team, whether you make, one trip or whether you go on six trips, you're going to be part of that practice roster as well. So now you're going to be practicing. We've added practices this year to try focus on that deficit that we have right on our defense, and so that's part of the positives there, but part of it is if for whatever reason we aren't able to go on a trip, people aren't having to be refunded or be out money or whatever. And the nice thing is we're going to be practicing a lot more this year and working together as a team, and I just think that's going to help when we actually do get on the field and playing some of these tournaments. So couple of win-wins there for us by kind of setting things up a little differently. So those monthly fees will be, we've got the fee down. It's going to be $200 a month. So if you get picked for a roster and you're obviously gung-ho to go, you will have a fee starting in September of $200 a month. That'll cover all your practice costs, all the instructor fees, facility fees, uniform costs, all the gear that you get, helmets, whatever else is included in that package. And that's what that $200 a month will cover. Now, once you go to a tournament, each of those tournaments will cost you $400. And that $400 is everything that basically has to do with the tournament travel on our side of things. So it should run a lot smoother. And if we do happen to have to have a tournament bump back, we're actually not accepting fees until we actually are 100% going on that tournament. So I think it'll be a little bit easier for folks and obviously for us as well, just keeping everything straight. So, how'd I do?
Pretty good.
I think that's good, Dean.
I think the COVID issue that we're dealing with here, as crappy as it is, we don't get to travel. I think once we do get to travel, we're going to be better prepared as a team. We're going to get more reps, especially, we see it all the time with the first trip to the U.S., the kids' eyes are, like Donnie says, as big as dinner plates, but so are the parents. And I think that's the other thing that, we should mention here. We do talk about it in the parents' meetings. Picture the best team that you've played in Canada and multiply that by a little bit. And those are the teams we're playing when we go down. They defensively, they're fantastic. They hit the ball. They pitch the ball. It's a test, but I think it's a good test because we see where the program has gone from, and I always use Vegas as the guide. We didn't win a game in Vegas
for a couple of years,
and then all of a sudden the 16s win it all and get the big trophy next year. So, or last year. So I think, that we're seeing some progress. We have a pretty good idea of what has to happen and what we need to prepare the athletes for, which is huge. And I think that extra practice time is going to be fantastic. We talked about some other team benefits there too. Once you make the teams, there's some other things that go on to it too. And it's things around the private lessons, right? Private lessons are $75 an hour. If you're on the teams or in a winter training, it goes down to 60. So it's just for those that want a little extra. But new this year too, with adding of the practices and the opportunity to do more training, even before the COVID hit, we talked about last year saying that we would like to even offer more opportunities, especially for those kids that make the teams, because they do come from all over the place. And sometimes, getting to practices is a little tougher and, they're not making them all. But one of the things we wanted to talk about was there's another opportunity in the winter training aspect. So new this year as well, and that's going to come out fairly soon, Dino. We'll talk about winter training in a sec.
Yeah.
Okay, so those links are going to come in our winter training in Edmonton, in Lloyd, in Moose Jaw, and in Saskatoon are all going to go. Those dates are booked and ready to go. But with the teams, we're going to give the teams a break as well. So if you make a team and you would like a little additional training, it's going to be half price for teams that make winter training.
Can I stop you there? Because you're not very good at math ever.
Less than half price?
It's $575 is what you're paying regularly for winter training.
Yeah.
And our team fees are going to be $250 this year. So that's less than 50%. More than 50% off.
But that's additional to the $200 a month.
Yes.
$250 total gets you another 6 3-hour sessions.
Yeah. See another 18 hours.
So for less than you can lease a brand new vehicle a month, you can have all this professional instruction.
There you go. Exactly.
What I like about it and the way I kind of describe winter training to folks that ask is winter training is a focus on the skill development as opposed to when we get together with our teams. Yeah, we're still working on the skill stuff and refining things, but you get a lot more team concept and, working on base running and slap defenses and cuts. Bunt defenses and all the cuts and all these different things that are kind of more team oriented. So if you are wanting to refine some skills, winter training is honestly the best place for you as far as that goes. So hopefully we get a lot of interest from our team players as well in the winter training stuff.
Well, and it's, you know what, the other thing too that I found with winter training over the last few years is, and I mean, we can throw out some names and I don't want to do that because I'm going to forget, but we've had kids that have tried out for our teams, not made it, done winter training, came back the next year and have made the team because of the extra work that they're putting in. Like with winter training, you're going to get a bunch of drills that you need to be doing, all that sort of stuff. So, it's a process. And I say it all the time. If this is your first camp, coming to 222s, don't be discouraged, because we've had a plethora of athletes that have come out, not made it the first time, but now are staples in the program as far as our teams.
And some of our most amazing athletes on our teams never made it their first year, even more specific. Yeah. I've had a few questions, Tosh, from people asking about our travel plans. Do you feel comfortable about kind of getting into the one trip, two tourney talk and what the benefits of that are?
Well, I think we've gone to everything is the two tourney. So I think maybe bring that up, why we made that change. Yeah.
Kind of the reasoning was, I think obviously cost was one of the reasons. And, you know, by us trying to get two tournaments, we're alleviating, and a lot of families will bring two or three kids and two parents, and it gets quite costly when you're looking at your flights. And so by going down there once, you might be paying a little bit more on the hotels by staying down there for the 10 or 12 days. But, you're definitely saving some money on the flights, especially when you're traveling with, two or three people. But the benefit on the playing side was something I thought we would kind of expect, but we didn't expect the difference to be this much. And, we head down, we'll meet down there on a Thursday. So this will be one trip, two tournaments. We'd meet on a Thursday. Everybody will kind of get settled. Usually that Friday morning, we're practicing a couple exhibition games Friday night. Then we head into their tournament Friday or Saturday, Sunday. Usually Saturday, we're not really up to par and we're starting to play a little better on Sunday. But typically before, we would be flying home on the Monday and that would be kind of it. But at least now we stay the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're doing practices all that week. We're having exhibition games in the evening, and then we're ready for our second tournament. And the improvement that we see down there is absolutely unbelievable, and especially with our youngest group was the 14s last year. The turnaround from the beginning tournament, the first day in that first tournament to the last day of the second tournament was like two different teams. And I think it's really nice because you don't have to wait until you get to practice something. So you might get thumped by a team one night and find out that your base running was absolutely atrocious. The next morning, we can be practicing that base running and see the results that evening again. And, typically in Saskatchewan, we might get, I don't know how many games you're playing in your league, but I would say 20 to 30 games, as long as we get good weather and all that sort of stuff. And there's trips down there. If we have good weather down there, you're playing 18 to 20 ball games. And that's almost like a season of ball here in Saskatchewan. So I just think it's really, really been valuable on the side of, advantage for our defensive work and even everybody, our pitchers, our hitters. It's just nice to see that improvement right away. Rather than having to wait a month and then we go down there again. So I really like the two tournament plan and why we went to that. So,
well, and I think there's a couple other things too that just tack on to that, and I'll just take your lead on that. Like, we see it, the 12s and the 14s, you see that improvement. But the other thing with the 16s and then later on the 18s, when they go for that 2 week, most of our kids want to go to school and play ball. This gives them a glimpse of what that looks like, because they do have to do schoolwork when they're down there. They do get up in the morning and practice. They do play that night. So you are starting to get into that realm of being a university athlete. And one thing we should clarify, because like it's we talk about going down for 2 weeks, and people are going, oh, my God, 2 weeks of school, blah, blah, blah. Let me throw some numbers at you, because Dino says I'm not good at math. But in
Dino
the past,
knows you're not good at math.
In the past, if you went down for two trips, so two different weeks, so you went in October, and then you went again in December, okay? If you go down for a two-week trip now, you are missing the same amount of school. Because we would always leave Wednesday morning, so they wouldn't be in school Wednesday, mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday, turn around, they wouldn't be in school Monday. So they're missing 4 days of school right there. Okay? If they go and do that twice, that's 8 days of school. Mm-hmm. It's the same amount that they're missing, because now we've changed it. We're going down on Thursday and not the Wednesday. So they're getting that extra day of school there. The other thing, too, is it's only two extra nights in a hotel. And when we book hotels, we're trying to book hotels that are very reasonable. But the kicker there, like Dino said, was it's only one flight. You know, so for instance, we would go to California. We might go to San Diego. We might go up to Lake Elsinore. So we're picking two tournaments in the area that might be a little bit of a drive in between. But it's nothing that we haven't done before in Saskatchewan, driving to Regina or whatever for a game. So, yeah, it's I really like how we go. The other thing, too, is that you can't really measure, but it's something that is a benefit and definitely has become a tradition with our team, is the chemistry between the girls being together every day for a couple weeks is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, we were in, we haven't talked about it yet, we'll get into it. We were in Calgary for a camp last week, and two of our former players, Alexis Lefishin and Jaylen Kelly, were there helping us out, and both played on different teams. And I asked them, both teams still have their chat lines going that they had when they were with the twos, and they've been out of the twos program for at least two, and Jay even longer than that. So that whole family thing and getting people together, hopefully your parents are fun kids, because we pick fun parents, no question. That is all part of it. It's a great way to go down and play some ball and get out of the snow for a bit.
Exactly. You touched on Bonnyville there, but I think, you know, since this the whole COVID outbreak, we've only had our two camps that we've done, and one's been Bonnyville and Calgary, and we got to say that I think they went really, really well. Yeah. And obviously, thanks to all the players who attended. We just finished up in Calgary there last week, and it was phenomenal, both Bonnyville and also the folks that helped get it going. I know Travis is a big help, and Craig helped a lot with the Calgary tournament. So those guys know who they are, but we definitely appreciate all the work that they do to help inspire softball in their area, and that's a big part of bringing us there. So
for sure, and
thanks.
We got to thank Michelle too over at Softball Alberta. Ooh. She did yeoman's work for us, you know, making sure that we. Because it's different in Alberta. They're playing in cohorts. So that was a bit of a change for us. And she walked us through the process and helped us out with a lot of that. So, again, thanks to all the folks at Softball Alberta that allowed us to come in and do our camps. And, you know, we work well with our governing bodies, we hope, and we help we help improve the players in your province. And hopefully that helps them down the road as well.
Michelle, I apologize for Tosh burning up your email box. There, I have to say that.
Yeah, I got to say, Michelle, even too, for like our cohort and Lloyd has had to put in a ton of work. And there's, you know, thanks to everybody, because we just wanted everyone to get a bit of a summer in, to get some games and some reps. And I know it hasn't been easy from our management, from Lloyd Minor Softball to like, so Pam too. But we're playing the Warriors and St. Albert, and it's a tough thing to get everyone, you know, safe and secure and get games going and umpires and all that. So it's Michelle has been awesome to us as well.
Yeah,
perfect.
For sure.
So I guess then, are we wrapping it up, Tosh and Dean? I mean, I think there's a lot of information. I know it's important. The only thing I wanted to, if I can start with the parting shots, the only thing I wanted to say is I know we've got a ton of registrants, and we opened up a new age group with the 12U. There's probably a lot of our athletes who have been in the program or have tried out before who maybe haven't registered because they're not sure what's happening. This hopefully gives you that push to say, well, you know what? They're going to plan as everything's going to go, and we need to see you at a camp for sure. We need to see if your intentions are to play. we're going like everything is 100%, so we need to come see you at a camp. So if you haven't registered yet, by all means, get over.
Well, and like Tosh said about this camp being full the 18th is probably going to be closed in the next 10 minutes. So by the time you've heard this, it's too late. But, you know, even as we've been talking here, we've had two or three people register. So we're getting to our cap there on the 18th. The 22nd still has about 13 spots left. And then our Edmonton and Calgary, they've kind of opened a little bit later. We've got some room there. So, but they're filling up fast too. So I would anticipate or, you know, encourage you to get your registrations in as soon as you can. Don't wait till the last minute. You know, otherwise you're running out of opportunities to find a place to try out. And then just a reminder, we are winter training, like we mentioned earlier, winter training in Edmonton, Lloyd, Saskatoon, and Moose Jaw is all going to be open for registration here this week. We wanted to obviously kind of wait a little bit later this year just due to COVID, just to see how things were going to be lining up and whether we can work indoors and all that fun stuff. So thumbs up, and we're ready to go there on winter training. So hoping to have another successful year with that as well.
Nice. Yep. And Tosh, what do you got for your parting shot?
No real shots, Donnie. I'm excited. Like I look at, like Dino does every day, I'm looking at some of the names that are coming through, and we're very excited about not only the new age category being 12U's, but just some of the athletes that are coming out. I know it's a bit of a weird year, but the COVID thing, and maybe it's people just want to play more ball. I don't know, but some of the names that have been coming out and kids that are registering are people that we've wanted to come try out for a couple of years now. So we're excited. It's going to be good. The quality of the product that we put on the field just gets better and better every year, and I don't think this year is going to be any different. I think that once we're ready to travel, we're going to do really well.
Thanks for listening to Tuesday Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.